News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
A petition requesting equal parenting or time shared parenting to become the default in Irish family law has been put forward for consideration to the Oireachtas, but it is but one of a vast range of reforms that are needed by many, believed to be needed by many of those who work in the sector, one of whom is Michelle Brown, senior family mediator and author. Michelle, as we stand currently, the system that we have, how does it tend to treat issues of access and custody? Does the woman take primacy?
Yeah, so it varies. It traditionally, I suppose it was felt that the woman received primary care of children. It is changing. The world we're living in has evolved so much since the inception of these laws. You know, 30 years ago, we're dealing with divorce in Ireland. We have different legislation in place currently for unmarried fathers and married fathers. So there would be a legal framework in place whereby an unmarried mother, or rather the mother of a couple who's unmarried, would have the custody rights for the child, and there would be an assumption that it is joint for married couples. However, we know that the cases being taken to the courts are in the thousands annually in Irish court systems to ask for different variations on what
and
custody
should
look like. And
are the courts able to sufficiently get through the amount of case load that they're facing?
No. There is huge backlog in the court system and a huge impact on our children, which is what we need to be really, really honest and, you know, stop brushing over this and pretending that this isn't happening. We're creating huge problems for our children and them having to deal with this stress. Like a five-year wait would be unusual, Anton.
Because if you're doing a personal injury case, you're just waiting for cash to come through. But if it's a five-year wait in a family law case, that has direct impact on the most formative points of a child's life.
And what's happening on the ground in dealing with that is that there's solicitors' letters back and forth, and this situation is being exacerbated, and the tension, the upset, the stress, the knock-on effect it's having on both parents and the children is causing damage that takes years and years and years.
While it happens, how is the decision made around custody and access? Does it just default to the status quo? How do they work that out?
It's case by case. So very often, you know, you can look for emergency cases to be heard in the courts, but the courts are not, you know, this is not the best way forward. We need to look at it, say, you know, what is the solution here, and accept that what was traditionally going on in Ireland has pivoted hugely, and amend legislation is one way. And that's obviously what we came on, you know, that there's somebody seeking to amend the legislation. But currently, we need to accept that this system is not working, look at the damage, be honest about what's happening with regard to the children, and take a better approach.
And what about that notion that there should be equally shared time between both in terms of access and in terms of custody for both parents?
Okay, so practically a 50-50 across the board. You know, you could understand the merit in it, and I can understand the frustration from people who say, well, the mum thinks she's control, or he thinks he's control, and, you know, this would be a fairer way. But the practicalities are that if parents are living apart and there's an hour distance, for example, and the child then is being driven from A to B and can't, you know, form the friendships in one school because he's been taken from one to the other, or, you know, spending an awful lot of time with the guy, that isn't in the best interest of that child. You know, we need guidelines produced from the courts to say what is best interest. If we are making decisions through our delayed court system, which are ultimately designed to be in the best interest of the child, why can we not produce guidelines and insist that prior to any parent entering into a courtroom situation, that they have read these guidelines, that they have attended mediation.
And they don't exist as we stand.
They don't exist as we stand.
And is there sufficient case law to effectively be those guidelines? As in, if you go to a solicitor, they say, look, we have a rough idea of what the judge is likely to say, so here's a recommendation.
Yeah. For years, parents have been dealing with advices around, it depends on the day, it depends on the judge, it depends on this. And all that is in reality is doing is exacerbating the conflict. obviously decisions are being made around what is in the best interest. This has been going on for years by case-by-case basis, and a judge is trying to do what's best in that situation because there has been a fallout. That fallout has been exacerbated because of the system that we're using. Should we put a couple of mechanisms in place? One, guidelines. Yes. How can we produce guidelines? We've recently produced a maintenance calculator, which parents can use and download, and it is designed to give an idea of what maintenance should look like. It's not legal framework, however, it is guidelines. We could, by the very same token, create guidelines as to what this looks like. Then we can say, yes, there are the guidelines, they must be read, and we could also mandate for mediation. If we were to mandate for mediation and make a concerted effort to reduce the numbers attending court, it would make a vast difference.
Michelle, thank you very much. Michelle Brown, senior family mediator and author, 53106. If you have experience of that issue, or have experienced the family law system when it comes to divorce or separation, or of course WhatsApp 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.